thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This past week in my study at home, I just sat down. I began to kind of listen to some messages and read some articles about the subject of Thanksgiving. Of course, it's coming up this weekend. And just kind of preparing my heart for tonight and for tomorrow and just in general because of the time of what it speaks to each and every one of us. And I asked myself the question, what impact has Thanksgiving and praise had on my heart, my life? So what impact? And I was thinking about, so I begin to jot down what I believe just the whole attitude and position I've taken to try to be as thankful as I could each and every day and grateful in my heart for what God has done. But as a result of that, how has it impacted my life? Because I believe that gratefulness and thanksgiving and praise, they kind of all go together and they can have an impact on your life. And I thought of a little illustration, and it was just a glove. And simply looking at gratitude, gratefulness, thanksgiving, and praise. Those two, okay? Thanksgiving and praise together. And I thought it's kind of like a hand and a glove. They really go together. They have a little bit different meanings, but they go together. And the way I saw it, just in a moment's time, how they go together, it's just like the hand representing thanksgiving, grateful heart. But the glove representing praise. And kind of that's the outward expression of what's going on in the inside. So if you're really grateful on the inside, the outward expression is going to be like the glove. You just want to give God praise. When we think of praise, we think of lifting our hands many times. But one more thought in that area is that the glove keeps the hand warm. And the more that we're in the habit of praise, we're going to keep a warm heart of thanksgiving. And it's always going to be there. It's going to keep it warm. So they really go together. You separate them in the cold, and there's going to be a difference. So as I thought about that impact, I began to jot some things down. And because of the way we scheduled the evening, and we're just going to be here just no longer than an hour and 5 minutes, so we all can get home to our families. But I only had 5 minute slot. But by the time I was done with the notes, it was an 8-week series. It was like 8 things that I could think about that I was really grateful for. So if you're ready, we're going to part 1 of this 8-week series, all right? No. So I did have 8 things, but I want to give you 3 of them. If I could just give you 3, they're going to come up on the screen, and they're on the subject of impact of thanksgiving and praise. Number 1 for me, and I made it personal, it's kept me aware of God's presence. The more I exercise that praise, and the more I feel grateful in my heart for what God has done, there just seems to be that it's kept me aware of God's presence being with me. The psalmist said, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." So if you want God's presence on a regular basis, I think there are a lot of people that thank God for a lot of different things. You can be driving down the road and someone just cut you off but barely misses you. I don't care who you are, you could be an atheist and you're going to say, "Thank God." You know, it's kind of funny. Like, are you an atheist? Honest to God. You know, it's just like, yeah. It lifted heaviness in my walk. I found that gratefulness, thanksgiving, and praise has lifted heaviness. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 says, "We put on the garment of praise," just like this jacket, you put a garment of praise, "for the spirit of heaviness." And I jotted down, I think, some of the things that heaviness represented here. In this particular word, it represents someone who might feel faint, feeble, or weak. How many of you felt that way? I don't care how macho you are, guys. You feel faint, feeble, and weak sometimes, right? You just do. Those of a faint and desponding heart. You know what's good for that? Garment of praise. And a garment of praise is just an outward expression that you're really grateful in your heart for what Christ has done for you, for what God has done for you. And then the last one, and it was number 8 on my list, it lifts me up above all my challenging circumstances. I do have some challenging circumstances in my life. You do too. And I thought of Psalm 34. There's not a greater, well, they're all good. But one of the great ones, Psalm 34, verses 1-4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, say it with me, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That exercising, that habit of, and you know, you can create a habit of praise and gratefulness. Just like we fall into that rut of grumbling and complaining, we can also get in a better rut, and that's one of thanksgiving and praise to God. So just a few thoughts. You're going to hear a few more thoughts in just a moment.
The theme for our night, great things God has done. Isn't that true? Great things he has done. And so I'm gonna do something tonight. This is gonna be a little bit risky, but say I'm ready. Say I'm ready. We're gonna do a little responsive reading, and this is all you've got to do, okay? I'm gonna read something, and then I'm gonna point at you, and you're gonna say, great things he has done. So let's practice. Oh, that's good. You're ready. Say I'm ready. Here we go. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. Who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I hope that all weekend that can be the attitude of our heart. When we were singing that song about bless the Lord, and I was thinking about that last verse, when my time has come, I want to be a man that has an attitude of gratitude and a thankful heart. I want to live my life in such a way that when people are around me, they know that I'm thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Like Pastor George said, I love this service because we take an hour and 5 minutes to come together and pause and reflect. Have you noticed something? I noticed it this year probably more so than I've ever noticed before. It seems like we go from Halloween to Christmas, and then and Thanksgiving just kind of gets pushed out. You know, Halloween is so commercialized, Christmas is so commercialized, and then Thanksgiving just kind of gets pushed out. There's already Christmas music being played. I am not ready to listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. Then the Mario Lanza CDs come out, and I enjoy my Christmas music. Now, those of you that are under 30, just YouTube it. You'll find out who Mario Lanza is, but that's my music, Christmas music. Now, so here's what we're going to do. Tonight, we're pausing just for a few minutes. We're pausing so that we can reflect. I thought about something, and I'm going to read a few statistics to you because this really stuck out to me. You know, we live in a world today that is filled with instant imaging and instant uploads. Many of you will go out and use that Christmas tree, and you'll take some amazing pictures by that Christmas tree, and in a matter of seconds, in a matter of moments, those photos are going to be uploaded to thousands and thousands and thousands, even 10,000, even possibly millions of people. And so I had a thought this week, and I looked up some statistics that were rather staggering to me, and here's what I found out. There are 200 million photos every day that are uploaded, 6 billion with a B, per month on Facebook. I want you to imagine that. 6 billion per month on Facebook. 58 million photos are shared daily on Instagram. There are over 18 billion with a B, 700 million photos on Instagram. As I thought about that, here's what I thought. There used to be this process when you wanted to upload or you wanted to see a picture of something. It was called developing. You remember that? You remember that, people that are over 30? Remember, you'd have to be so careful. You take the film out, you put it in the camera, you take the pictures, and then you got to be careful that you take it out and put it in the bag and take it. And then you hope within 3 to 5 days, you're going to get your pictures back. And if you did everything right, hopefully they're not underdeveloped and overexposed. And as I thought about that, I thought, let's ponder this for just a minute. Because in the world that we live in today, those instant uploads are what we call technology, right? Instant uploads, we call that technology. No longer that long processing, no longer those long details of having to develop. But ponder this. A life still requires being developed. A life requires development. In those days, if you took your film, there was this process, this chemical, all of these different things that had to happen in order for your film to be processed. And as I thought about that, I thought there's something valuable in the slow process of healthy development. And I thought about it in relation to a life. You know, our life is being instantly uploaded wherever we go. Wherever we go, our life is a billboard of who we know and who we love. And when you have an attitude of gratitude, and when we have thankful hearts for the things that God has done in our life, there's amazing things that are done in our lives and in the world as a result of that. So I asked myself this question as I was pondering those astronomical numbers of how many photos are just bombarding airwaves and internet and Instagram and Facebook and all that. Is there anything that I can add to the process to ensure that I am fully developed at the end of this life, so that I'm fully developed? And I thought, one of the things that I can add is an attitude of gratitude. You know, if we live our lives and we're thankful, wherever we go and whatever we do, we pause long enough to say, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful in every situation. That's what Paul said. I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. I've learned the secret. A life of thanksgiving and a life of gratitude is what you and I can add to that processing of development. God's ultimate desire for our lives is that we would be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. And everywhere Jesus went, everything that he did, he had an attitude of gratitude. And I thought, Lord, help me. Help me to live a life with an attitude of gratitude. Those of you that are familiar with Facebook and all of that, oftentimes what we do is we post something and then we go back within a minute or 5 minutes or 5 hours and we check to see how many likes we've gotten. How many of you have ever done that? Come on, now raise your hand. You're in church. You've gone back and you've seen how many likes. I think ultimately in this life, the goal is not how many likes we get when we instantly upload something, but how much like Jesus are we? How much like Jesus are we? I want to have an attitude of gratitude. And I read something this week, and I've read it so many times in my life, but it hit me differently this week when I read it. And I was reading about Jesus and the multiplication. I was reading about Jesus and the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. And do you know that in every gospel and every time that's recorded, the very first thing that Jesus did is he paused and he gave thanks? He gave thanks to the Father. So he had those small little things that didn't seem like they would be enough to provide. And yet he took what he had and he gave thanks. And through the giving thanks, the multiplication followed. The supernatural followed, the provision followed, the miraculous followed, and it was because Jesus gave thanks. So let me just encourage you. Tomorrow, one of those turkeys that got unfriended on Facebook is probably going to be on your table, and the attitude of gratitude for those that are sitting at the table with you, for what you have on the table, for all of the things that we have and all of the things that we're grateful for, that we take time to give thanks to God. Amen?
We're going to move on to that part of our service, Will, where we remember the work of Christ on the cross, where we celebrate in the tradition and memory of communion. And we've been talking about praising with our lips and how that brings breakthrough. We've been talking about an attitude of gratitude. And it hit me this week that as we prepare our hearts for remembering what Christ did, it transforms us. It changes us. And I realized as a parent of young children, you can teach someone to say thanks. You can teach a child to say thank you. And you can realize also they don't always mean it. They've learned the practice or the gesture of saying thank you. You know this in yourself. In a store, maybe you've waited in line for a long time and you're frustrated and you're late somewhere and you say thanks with a grumpy attitude. You can give the gesture of thankfulness But that doesn't always mean our posture is a posture of gratitude. And so as we come to this table of communion, I want us to remember that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross transforms us. And it doesn't just give us the ability to gesture thankfulness with our lips, but it gives the ability of our hearts to be postured with gratitude for the work he's done, no matter what we're facing in life, no matter the ups or the downs, the highs and the lows, that when we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can remember that our heart is shaped and transformed to the heart of gratitude, that we remember all that he's done for us, that he sought us out first, that even while we were yet in sin, that he came and pursued us and invited us to follow him. And in this moment, we say yes. And if you've never done that tonight, we want you to know that it's as simple as saying, Jesus, I give my whole self to you. I've made mistakes. I've fallen short. But I want to be whole, and I want the posture of my heart to be one of gratitude. It's that simple. Just say it in your heart. Jesus, I'm saying yes to you. And as those of us that have done that before in our life, we come to this table of communion to remind ourselves that at one point we said yes, and we're going to say yes again. We're going to say yes tomorrow, and we're going to say yes 5 years from now. We're going to say yes that moment, as we sung earlier, 10,000 reasons. That moment we say yes before we step into eternity. Jesus, we're saying yes to you. Would you transform our heart to be a heart that's postured toward gratitude? And so as we share in communion, how we do it here at Faith, if you've never been here with us, we've got tables set up throughout the sanctuary. We're going to ask you in a few moments, as after I read about what Jesus said about communion, we're going to just ask you to stand up while we worship and make your way to one of those tables, whether you're with friends or a family member, or maybe you're here alone, just ask a group of people, can I join with you? Because we're a church family. And as Pastor George opened up, that's what we're here to do, is celebrate Christ as a family of believers. So go ahead and make your way to the tables and gather together and take communion together. We'll continue to worship. Yes, if you're part of our serving team, you can make your way to the table. Now I want to read what Jesus himself said as he set up the institution, the tradition, the reposturing of our hearts with communion. You see, he had told his disciples to go prepare a room where we're going to share in a supper together. It's going to be an important meal that we're going to have together. And Luke records it this way: when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles, they reclined at the table. He said to them this, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You see, Jesus, God in the flesh, he eagerly desired to meet with us then and meet with us tonight. But he knew what was coming. He knew suffering was coming. He knew death on a cross was coming. Yet he gave thanks. His heart was a heart of gratitude, even though he knew right around the corner was great trial and tribulation for him. He says this, for I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God, the suffering I'm going to do. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said this, take this, divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, he gave thanks. Again, not just a gesture, but a posture. He broke the bread, gave it away to them, saying this, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup. The new cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. See, we do this to remember the Lord's death and resurrection until the day he comes. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads. I'm going to pray for us. And when I say amen, we're going to worship, and you guys can make your way to the stations. And let's reposture the heart that we have to be a heart of gratitude for Jesus. Father God, we thank you for sending your one and only Son as a ransom, a sacrifice for we fall short. If there's anything we're going to say thank you for this Thanksgiving, it's going to be that and that alone, that you have given yourself to us that we might have new life. We might have life and have it to the full. So God, we thank you for that gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of Jesus' death, his blood and body broken, his blood shed, poured out on the cross. But God, we thank you for resurrection. We thank you that Jesus proved there's new life, and that gives us hope, each one of us. There is hope this holiday season. So God, would you just transform us and touch us, not just in the tradition of taking communion, but doing it in remembrance of how you love us. In all these things we say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love each and every one of you. Love being part of this great family of God. Love being part of this vision and all the things God has done and is doing and will do in the future. We all have loved ones, neighbors, friends around us that we want to see them. We want them to know what we know in our hearts. I guess that's a cry we all have. So we keep praying for them. So we pray you have a wonderful day tomorrow with your family, your friends, whatever you might be doing. We're going to close our time. Beautiful evening. Father, once again, what more can we say, Lord, without continuing to say it? And we need to do that, Lord God. But we want to walk out of here. And Lord, we're going to believe for an answer to our prayer that Holy Spirit, keep reminding us of the things that Jesus has taught us. Keep reminding us of the things that Jesus has done for us. Keep reminding us of who we are in Christ. Lord, that you have blessed us in more ways than we can account. Lord, keep our hearts alive and warm with gratefulness, and let us express it with our praise and thanksgiving to you. It's already been said, oh God, we want this to be the writing over our life story, that we were grateful and thankful to you. So we hold hands, Lord, for the person to the right of us and left of us. Bless them abundantly. Let your face shine upon them. Lord, let your smile be known by them. And Lord, you take great pleasure in your children. And Lord God, your goal is to fulfill our lives, oh God, with what you designed for each and every one of us. We believe that. We trust it. We want to hang on to that. And Lord, we want to rejoice in it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.